Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, several Chicago celebrities are showing their love for the Cubbies, but not all the celebs have actually created art that pays homage to the fans. Of course, I'm talking about the Chicago play, the great Chicago play, Bleacher Bums. Written in 1977 by the ensemble at the Organic Theater, it was a play about a ragtag bunch of Cubs fans who spent their days in the bleachers at Wrigley Field. The play ran for a few years. It went to New York. It toured. It was broadcast on WTTW. We all remember it. The play was written and performed by some legendary Chicago talent, Dennis Franz, Stuart Gordon, who we'll talk to later this hour, and my next guest, the one and only Joe Mantegna. Mantegna is an award-winning actor, excelled on Broadway, in film, and in television, where he currently stars in the hit drama Criminal Minds. And he's a diehard Cubs fan who's thrown out several first pitches and sang many seventh-inning stretches. He's my guest tonight on The Download. Joe Mantegna, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So let's talk about, how it for you to think about this Bleacher Bums play that you guys put together at the Organic back in 1977 to where we're at now. First off, let me get your thoughts on you know, your energy and everything that goes into the Cubs making the World Series.
Well, I conceived that play. If you look at the script, it'll say conceived by Joe Mantegna and then written by myself along with the original cast, which is what we did. So it was like even back then, in 77, I used to go to the games as a young man and think, what is it about this team that has basically, been somewhat over the course of at least my lifetime and most of my parents' lifetime, actually all of my mother's lifetime, who's now 101, they've been at best, an average team, but yet draws this incredible crowd every week. And I kept thinking to myself every game, and I thought to myself, if I can get a capture in theater, that same feeling, what is it about fandom? If I could capture that in a play, then I've got a hit. And so when I broached that to our theater company back in 77, when we were looking for new ideas for new plays, I said, how about a play about the people in the bleachers? Come sit with me in my section and you'll see what I'm talking about. What is it about this diverse group of people who get together and root for basically a team that has never, closed the deal for them and yet show up every game? And that was the genesis of Bleacher Bums. And so it was funny when the play opened, and it did do very well. It was hugely successful, and has been for the last 39 years. But I remember when they interviewed me back then, they said, well, Joe, when you play, when the Cubs ultimately go to the World Series and win a World Championship, your play will become obsolete. What are you going to do about that? And I said, well, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. Not knowing it would be hopefully 39 years
right,
later,
right.
And we're certainly closer than we have been, and so I'm just, as you can imagine, I'm just thrilled and excited, and I'd like nothing better than Bleacher Bums become it's a nostalgic look at the way
right.
the Cubs used to be.
Well, I'm interested just in the concept of how when you thought of the idea, okay, I'm going to do something on the people I sit by in the bleachers.
Right.
Take us back to 1977. There was a little bit of national notoriety around the Bleacher Bums and the crazy group that would get
exactly.
together. Well, talk about what that experience was like and take us back to the bleachers back then.
Well, you know what was exciting about it for me? Because I would sit in this one section just to the right of center field, and it was such a diverse group of people. You had guys up there who would like to gamble on, nothing serious, but gambling on every little thing, an out or an inning or a foul ball or who's going to score and stuff like that. But then you had kids up there. You had girls up there who were basically there to get a suntan. You had this one group, there was three blind guys that would all come together. One would listen to the radio and kind of let the others know what was going on by the play-by-play. And I was taken by the diversity of it. I said, these are people that for this moment in time, while they're up here in the bleachers, they have this common interest, and they're all together, and there's this camaraderie. Yet when the game is over, they are going their separate ways, and they have nothing, absolutely nothing in common with each other. From the girl in the bikini to the businessman to the kid who's covered with frosty malts, to the blind guys, to the guy who comes in from left field, from the crazy guys in left field that would started the whole throw the ball back and all that. That was our homage to the left field Bleacher Bums guys, to Ronnie Woo Woo. We had a character do a little bit like Ronnie does. So I was just taken by that whole, what is this microcosm of people who share really very little in common except this love for this team. And yet when the game is over, they're going to come back and do the same thing all over again tomorrow. Well, and that's the way the bleachers were, and that's what I loved about it, and that's what I love about Cub fans in general, that it was just like that we have this one thing, that this thread that runs through all of us all over the world, and that hopefully that thread is about to celebrate soon, you know.
Well, I mean, were you surprised as an actor in the time that the play was so successful, not just here in Chicago, but touring around the country, that it's been done so many different times in so many different theaters? Are you surprised that it sort of resonates past a baseball fan, a Chicago fan, a bleacher fan?
Yeah, initially I kind of was, because I got to say, you know, we opened it in Los Angeles in 1980 as a waiver play. A few of us from the original cast, myself, Patrick Williams, and then a few people who actually did versions of it in Chicago after that, Vinny Gustafaro and Mike Sodd and Keith Serbica. But that show ran in Los Angeles for 10 years. It became one of the longest-running, what they call equity waiver shows, in Los Angeles theater history, from 1980 to 1990. And it was, especially during that time, I thought to myself, well, it's not all Cub fans. We're coming to this play. And then it made me realize, well, it's that whole thing of rooting for the underdog. It's the whole thing of what fandom is about, and I'd hoped it was going to transcend just being about a single team. That it's about that whole thing of always, you know, never giving up for that one thing you believe in, even when it's, you know, the direst of times and the hardest thing to do, you know. And so I think it transcended that. And so fans of not just the Cubs, but just people who could relate to that concept of fandom, I think, embraced it. And so the Cubs became kind of the symbol for that.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, and I don't want to spoil the play, but at the end, the Cubs lose. I mean,
part of it. The Cubs do lose. But they lose to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing in the play, if you look at the play, everybody comes in as an individual. They come in so singly into the play. But at the end of the play, everybody leaves in as a couple. You know, they make some sort of connection. And during the course of the play, it's kind of a fun, hopefully sentimental, sweet connection. Except for the one character, Marvin, who's the guy who wins. He's the guy who bets against the Cubs.
Right.
He bets on the Cardinals. But at the end of the play, you hear the announcer saying, come back tomorrow, you know, for another game with the Cubs and the Cardinals. And you see Marvin picking up the loose change up in the bleachers that people had dropped.
Yeah.
And he's by himself. And then you go, well, who really won here? Who won and who lost? The team lost, but the people left very optimistic. And Marvin's picking up the loose change, and yeah, he won some money, but he's by himself. So I mean, it was a little bit of a, you know, well, it's a play, but you know.
Yeah. Joe Mantegna, my guest. We're talking about Bleacher Bums. 39 years, obviously, we're talking about it because the Cubs make the World Series this week. It's World Series week here at 720 WGN. All right, so I'm interested because it's been, like I said, 39 years, and futility plays a big role in the play, this idea of the Cubs losing and the lovable losers and the whole bit. Is it the same concept in 1977 as we see in, I mean, even 2015, the concept that, you know, futility plays such a role in the psyche of the Cubs fan?
Well, I mean, I think it did. I think what happens is ultimately time, and the whole saying, time heals all wounds. And I thought it's like to say that 108 years is enough time. You know, I mean, I was interviewed recently about, you know, the Cubs' recent success, and they wanted me to say a little blurb. And we have a restaurant here in California that my wife owns called Taste Chicago in Burbank, California. And, I mean, literally, it's a haven for all, you know, expatriate Chicagoans to go to. We have, the Italian beef and the deep dish and all the Vienna dogs. And, of course, we show all the Cubs and the Sox and the Bulls and the Blackhawks and the Bears and all the games. So I stood in front of Ernie Banks' jersey for this interview, and I basically said, my mother, and this is true, my mother turned 101 in September. She's waited long enough is what my comment was. But I think what's happened in those 108 years is it's almost like that whole thing of, like, you have to get rid of the generation. You have to get rid of the generation of the curse and of this and of that. You know, you got to bring in, you know, Ricketts and the Cubs and the current ball club, they really did it all right, you know, with Epstein and with Madden and the whole deal. In other words, they wiped the slate clean. They said, okay, we get it. There's this whole philosophy about the lovable losers. Well, that's over. That's done. We're resetting the odometer, you know? It's like you've gone past your expiration date for the curse. Let's move on.
Let's move on, right.
And that's what's great. And it just goes to show. And when we saw it happen in Boston, you know, when we saw it happen in Boston a few years back, and I remember when Boston won that first series, I remember the last line, and I think it was in the Boston Globe, that when they wrote the article about them the next day was, well, I guess the last thing we need to do is say go Cubs, which was, I thought, was very kind of them and fitting, and hopefully that prophetic kind of saying will come true this week.
Well, for you, I mean, as a theater artist in 1977, writing a play about the Cubs, being a tremendous star in Hollywood and on Broadway, and always being a Cubs fan, a diehard Cubs fan from here in Chicago. What does it mean to you that the Cubs are in the World Series, that this is happening right now? What are the emotions that are happening with you, Joe Montana?
You know, it's hard to say because I've never had these emotions before. I mean, when I talk to other people, we all look at each other like, oh, my God. Like, I was at the restaurant Saturday night to watch the final four innings. I mean, I had to go to a memorial, actually, earlier in the day, so that's why I missed the first few innings of the game. But I got there for the last few innings, and our restaurant was, of course, jammed with Cub fans, and the place was going berserk. And, I mean, we were kind of like representing the West Coast, you know, fandom out here. And we were all looking at each other at the conclusion, and nobody even knew how to react. It was like, can you believe it? We're going to the World Series. We don't know even how do you comprehend that? I mean, my wife, she yells at me when I say, and I say it jokingly, I say, you know what? If the Cubs do win the World Series, maybe what we should all do collectively as a nation is dissolve baseball and start embracing soccer like the rest of the world.
There you go.
And maybe the rest of the world start treating us better. They'll start saying, oh, my God, they're embracing the beautiful game. You know, maybe they're not so bad after all.
I love it. The perfect. That's the idea. Joe Montana's got the right idea.
Yeah. I mean, well, sure, the Cubs winning the World Series could ensure world peace if it all kind of everyone gets on board. But what are you going to do?
Joe Montana, of course, the man behind Bleacher Bums, he and his ensemble at the Organic Theater back in 1977 wrote the play Bleacher Bums, which has turned into television shows and to films and also has toured around the world. Joe Montana, thanks so much. Go Cubs, and we appreciate you taking some time out to talk to us tonight.
It was my pleasure. Thank you. Go Cubs indeed.